Hello and welcome to Lifetime Uncorked, the podcast where we discuss your favorite made-for-TV movies. Whether you love to hate watch or hate yourself for loving them, pour up a glass of your favorite cocktail and join us. I am your host, Patrick Serrano, and my guests today are...
I am Drew Current.
And I'm Allie Braun.
Yes, you are.
Hi, Allie.
Hi.
Allie is back again.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
It has. It's been... Yeah.
Yeah, you did a Christmas one with Becca, of course.
Yep.
That's not this today.
No.
Definitely
no. So no Christmas time yet.
Not
Christmas
yet.
Is coming. We'll be covering Christmas things. We'll be talking about that at another time. So you'll have to wait to see.
You have to wait for Christmas time.
Christmas time.
It's Halloween time right now.
Exactly. So let's get through Halloween first.
I agree. Yeah.
And then we'll get to Christmas.
Yeah.
But Allie, I'm so happy to have you here.
I'm so glad to be here.
Thanks. We're doing a show together right now. We're doing 9 to 5. The musical, we're not doing a show from 9 to 5, which everyone
right.
I tell about it is like, oh, 9 to 5 is a long rehearsal process.
That's a very long rehearsal process.
You're clearly not listening to me or I am not explaining this well. Mm-hmm. 9 to 5, the movie.
9 to 5,
made
the movie, the
a
show.
Musical.
Yeah.
Into a musical.
And that's what I'm doing.
Cool.
And Allie's assistant directing. Yeah.
Great.
That's great. So we get to see each other a lot.
Which is exciting.
It is.
It's been a while.
It is. And we came straight from watching the movie today. So, you know, it's like fresh in our minds.
Ready to go.
Fresh in our hearts. Mm-hmm. Got a lot to explain to you, Drew. But before we do that, we, of course, have our business at the top of the show.
Yep. Business time.
Yeah.
That's the new song. That's the song I wrote.
I love it.
That's the new song I wrote.
Like, that caught me really off guard for some reason today.
Liked it.
But I love that. Business time.
Business time.
With like a xylophone after or something.
Yeah. Yes.
Ding,
yeah.
Totally. Ding, 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 ding.
And as usual, we have great reviews from our wonderful listeners who are actually writing reviews probably on the weekly. We get at least a couple.
Yeah.
So thank you, listeners, for really taking the time to write a review. We have a nice review that Allie will read because I do not like to read in public. It makes me nervous.
Yeah, no.
But not Allie.
Not me. Not at all.
But we're making her do it.
Yeah.
I'm so ready. This one has a great title, which is My First Podcast and It Makes My Day, which I love.
Oh, my God. We're first? We're someone's first?
For someone's first.
Wow.
I just really like that title.
It's very special.
Okay. All right.
And then they put...
Take that, NPR.
Take that.
I know.
To the bank.
To the bank. So I was thinking. And then they used a poop emoji right after that. But it's the first line of the... Okay.
First line's poop emoji. Great.
I love it. Yes. Thank you to Patrick and Drew for bringing Lifetime Uncorked to this world. I got a new car. Okay, it's a minivan. And I finally have Bluetooth. This wildly funny podcast was recommended to me. And I have been binging the eps.
Yeah.
Which I love.
That's short for episodes.
Mm-hmm.
It is.
Yeah.
And
she's cool, I can tell.
Yeah,
I really yes. Ever since the beginning
of August. I don't know if it's a she.
We will Lindsay.
Oh. Okay. It could be a she.
Could be.
It could be a boy.
Well,
yeah.
We like it.
It's a they.
Or it's a they. Yeah.
This wildly funny podcast was recommended to me, and I've been binging the eps, which I love again. There we go. Since the beginning of August, as a lifetime aficionado, the witty commentary and hilarious roast of the characters speaks to me in my dark, brittle, twisted heart. Black heart emoji, kiss emoji with a heart, and then another kiss emoji with a heart.
Damn, that's nice.
Thanks, Lindsay.
You know, my first car was a minivan.
You know, I also drove a minivan in high school for a while, taking my brother to soccer practice.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, good for you, Lindsay, for getting a minivan and living that minivan life.
I know.
Yeah.
You gotta, you know, I hope you blast some music in that minivan and drive around town because you shouldn't be ashamed to drive a minivan.
No. Mm-hmm.
You should be honored.
No.
I feel like this.
But you should be careful. They're big. They're big cars.
They're hard to park.
They're mini, but they're not.
They're not.
I've wrecked a garage or two.
A lot of people get mad at you and. Don't let that get to you.
Right. You just slide open that slidey door and you just give them the finger.
You give them the finger right
out
that
slidey
door.
Slidey doors.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, don't do that because road rage is very serious
very dangerous.
It's dangerous out there. So just, you know, wave. Whenever someone is mean to me, I just like wave at them like, hi. And that pisses them off even more. I know it does.
I should try that.
It really helps.
Yep.
I used to get mad back and I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to smile and wave because that is the most
I think that's a
terrible
thing
I could do.
The only way to deal with like road rage,
mm-hmm.
I've gotten to the point where I'm just like, oh yeah, Oh, yeah, there you go. Yeah, there you go. That's how you, yeah.
For the listeners, Drew's turning a wheel as well.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, there it is.
Yep, hand over hand. Hand over hand.
Hand over hand, remember that.
Very safe, very safe. Hands on the wheel at all times.
Sharp turn.
No knee driving with Drew.
No. No, 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 no.
Definitely not.
I am really good at that.
Pay attention.
Okay, business time over. Thank you. You should write a review, everyone. Emojis, please. Poop emoji for Drew. Every other emoji for me. And Allie, do you have a favorite emoji you like?
I really like the salsa dancey person.
Yeah.
Okay. I feel like that conveys a lot.
That does. That does.
I'm doing
salsa dancey for Allie.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I love it.
Wonderful. So today we are talking, Drew. This is part of the series that we're doing, where there's like five movies. They're the Ripped from the Headline series.
Yeah.
Okay, so this continues that whole thing. And today we're doing a Ripped from the Headline called Trapped, the Alex Cooper Story.
Okay.
Yeah, yep. So we know the Lifetime with the Trapped, they can get a little crazy, and they are based on true stories. We have Trapped in a Bunker, Trapped
in a box.
Girl in a Box, yes.
Girl in a Box.
These are true things that really happened. They are awful.
Wow.
And insane. So this falls in line with that.
Yeah.
But it's a little bit more personal because this personal story is this girl, Alex Cooper. This is based on her memoir about her experience being trapped in a gay conversion therapy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
gross.
You know, we have a lot to say as some LGBTQA people, plus people all up in here.
Yeah.
So we're going to dive in. I will preface this at the top. Anything I say that's like in a joking manner is referring to the movie.
To the movie.
Not to the real life situation.
Yes.
And even still, the movie was not many opportunities to write jokes about.
Oh, really? You know?
Yeah, Lifetime actually did a really good job.
I'll get them. I'll get them in there.
They did it pretty well. But we're going to explain this to you, Drew.
Okay.
And just know, this is a very Canadian movie.
Yeah.
What was the thing that they said in the bathtub?
Something about a fern.
They're like, you're as obvious as a fern in a bathtub.
Yep.
And I'm like, that is not an American saying.
That's nothing that I've ever
heard. But that was the high schoolers being like, yeah, this is something that we say.
The movie stars Addison Holly. She plays Alex Cooper.
Okay.
Steve Kumen, or Kumyen? I don't know.
I like it.
Yeah.
And Katie Drummond, who was in, oh gosh, the name is escaping me. Secrets in a Small Town.
Okay.
Or Nowhere. Remember that one? Where the girl gets hazed and she gets trapped in a cabin.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Mm. So she's from that, and she's actually a really good actress. She plays the mom.
Yep. Great.
Okay. So that's who's in it. So we start off. We're in a typical, like, tropey Lifetime beginning, right? It is a female protagonist running for her life, you know, running from being murdered, maybe running because she has an eating disorder, maybe. And you're like, I know where this is going, right?
Yeah.
And you're like, no, Drew, you did not know where it's going.
Okay. So this is they're doing the this is the beginning.
Mm-hmm. So it starts
starts
towards the end.
Towards the end. Okay. Yep.
Yes. She's running. She has like no shoes on. You know, she's in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
She's running from her captors, of course.
Right.
So we don't know that right now. And as she's running, hymns are playing on top of the footage of her running.
Oh, hymns.
Yeah.
Hymns, yeah, like songs.
Like Jesus songs, as I like to say.
Jesus songs.
You know, Jesus songs.
Yeah, yeah.
But hymns. And believe me, I had to like quadruple check the spelling of hymns on my blog because I was like, I don't know how to spell this. Which is, you know, shame on me.
What was one of the names of the hymns?
Jerry. I don't know.
Praise Jerry.
I'm not really in my wheelhouse right now with the religious stuff.
Okay.
You know, I went to Catholic preschool.
Oh, yeah.
And that's where I stopped. Okay. I was like, I know Noah's Ark. I know Adam and Eve. I know Christmas songs. I'm good.
That's all you need to know.
I'm good. I baptized in every religion, so I'm fine.
Great.
So, okay. We flash then to her getting like hit by a car or something, like not like we see her get hit by a car, but she's like standing in the middle of the road, hands out, stopping like a car. Like she's like, stop, stop, stop. The lights come on and they get really bright. And then we're flashed to 9 months earlier.
Yeah. Okay.
Sure. Okay. And we see that she is in church singing hymns with her family. Mm-hmm. Okay.
You can't always get what you want. Right.
Sure.
That's one of them.
That's probably what they were singing.
Yeah.
And the Alex is like, you know, she's a 15-year-old kid. She's like goofing off in church, like making faces at her friend. Her mom's like, pay attention.
Yeah.
And the priest or whoever, the pastor, I don't know what they say in this religion. The Church of Latter-day Saints, by the way.
Ah, Mormons.
The Mormons. He's like talking about someone who died and how he won't get to live in eternity because he like had sins during his life. So so sad
typical,
for him, but we'll see him never, basically, is what he says.
That's too bad.
And everyone in church is like, yes, praise him.
Like, praise him. Praise the Lord. Praise
not Jesus. As gay as I just did it.
Praise Joseph.
Yes, girl.
Yes, yes girl.
But she's not, Alex is not paying attention to any of this. She just wants to have fun with her friend. So we cut to school where they're talking about plants in bathtubs.
Okay. Yeah.
And Alex is like drooling, like looking at some people walking down the hallway, right? Mm-hmm. And her friend's like, you are so obvious. You are so looking at those jocks, but she is not looking at the jocks.
No,
she's looking at the cheerleaders.
Yeah, she is.
Yeah, two of them. And they were cute.
They were.
Yeah.
They were holding hands down the hallway.
Yeah.
Cute.
So, you know, Alex is like, what do you mean I'm obvious? What are you talking about? I'm not gay. Shut up. You know? And the friend's like, I didn't say anything about gay people.
Wait, what?
But I don't believe in gay people. So, you know, they're all going
it.
To hell.
I don't believe in them.
Yes. But she has like the girl, I think her name's Molly or Maria or something.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter. She doesn't really matter to the plot, but she has a sister, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, it's her sister.
And again, not really important. Like there's a bunch of peripheral characters, but the sister has a lesbian friend and the lesbian friend has like really short hair. You know, she has like an earring and then she has another lesbian friend. This is the one who's important. Her name's Frankie.
Okay.
Okay. So the Alex and her 15-year-old friends and now the sister and her 17-year-old friends or 18-year-old friends are all having dinner together with the parents, and the parents are accepting of the gays in their home, but maybe not in public.
In, like, heaven.
Not in heaven, not in public.
Not in their heaven and not in public.
Yep. And the family is Latinx, just to put that out there, which was good. The Lopez family. Okay. You know, Jennifer couldn't be there for this filming. She was doing Hustlers. But, you know, she'll be in the sequel.
She will.
Trapped Alex Cooper 2.
Two.
No.
The Trappening.
Yeah, the Trappening. Oh, God. No, please. Let's not ever have that happen. So, of course, Alex over dinner is bonding with Frankie. The girl, she's wearing plaid.
Of course.
Very lesbian outfit. A plaid. A nice green plaid.
Just a nice green
she's
plaid.
She's very charming. Yeah.
Yeah.
She's just...
They're just talking about their dreams and like what they want to do after school and stuff.
Okay.
And you can tell there's like some type of chemistry going on.
Absolutely.
Great.
They want to be like friends. So Frankie's like, let's hang out. And then we get... happy lesbian montage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I cheered just now. What is a lesbian montage, though?
There were paintbrushes, obviously.
Oh,
we were
painting.
Doing some painting
there,
in
was
plaid.
There baking, flower toss throwing?
No.
It was mostly setting up for Earth Week.
Yeah.
Which felt right.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah. They love the Earth. Mm-hmm. They're like putting up banners and
hippies.
Putting out recycling. you know, laughing and like touching each other. Like, you know, like pushing each other. And then like they almost kiss on the doorstep and the light turns on. They're like, ha ha ha. You know?
We would never.
That's stupid.
And I'm like, this, if I didn't know what was coming, I would think this was a rom-com.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, I'm like, oh wow, a lesbian rom-com. How great.
Great.
Never seen one.
No. Mm-hmm.
I've never seen one.
Nope.
And you know, I kind of want to watch one now.
Yeah, it was really good at the beginning.
Is there any lesbian rom-coms?
There was Love, Simon. That was
Love, Simon? Never heard of it. We need some lesbian rom-coms.
Yes.
Yep.
Blue is the warmest color. That's a rom-com, right?
Yep.
Is it?
No.
I think we need Kate McKinnon.
No, it's definitely not.
Yeah.
Yes, we should.
Yep.
So they do actually, where am I going?
We had a lesbian.
The rom-com happens rom-com. And like Alex is like a smitten kitten.
It's real cute.
And she, like Frankie just spontaneously, they're all bowling because, you know, lesbians love to bowl, of course.
Yep, yep.
Can you confirm or deny?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Love to. I throw it like halfway down the lane, though.
You like shot put.
It like bounces once and then.
Yeah. So, you know, maybe not necessarily good at bowling, but it's a good pastime.
Oh, yeah.
And the Frankie girl is like, who wants to go with me to L.A. for the night? And everyone's like, oh, we have school.
It's 2.5 hours away.
Yeah, maybe not. But, of course, Alex is like, I will go. She writes a note to her parents and she's like, okay, I'm going to stay at my friend's house. Oh, Danielle, I think is the friend's name, not Molly and Maria.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Danielle. And she like puts a heart on it and goes off, and then we get another lesbian montage of them at the beach.
Yeah.
And you know, Frankie has a cool red Jeep.
Of course.
They're like driving, holding hands with the wind blowing in their hair, very Thelma and Louise, minus the like driving off the cliff at the end.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And
the murder
and all that. They like are sitting on a blanket, like very Varsity Blues by the beach. You know, they have like the blanket on the car. They're like sitting, like lying in each other's arms and just talking about life and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like very sweet and, you know, a teenage relationship, pretty much.
Okay.
She's like, you can have this.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
You can have all of this if you would just admit that you're a lesbian. Just admit it.
Well, right. And Alex is like realizing that she has true feelings for them. They like kiss on the car. Not like slutty makeout kiss. Not that there's anything wrong with slutty makeout kisses. But it's like
nothing
actually, it was actually pretty romantic, I would say.
It was
as
good.
Far as like the top.
Kiss.
I was like, oh, wow, this is good. Yeah. And then Alex comes home the next morning and a cop is there.
Oh, no.
And the parents are worried. And they're just like,
where? But she left a note.
They're like, we called Danielle and she told us you weren't there.
Oh.
Yep. Mm-hmm. She said you went to L.A. She just ratted her out.
And they're very accusatory. They're like, what were you doing out with boys? You're going to wreck your life.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing Mommy Dearest.
That was
you know, yeah. Christina! but they ground her indefinitely. And Alex is like, whatever. Like, you guys are just nuts.
You guys are Mormons.
Yeah.
But she realizes that she like is a lesbian and she's like, oh crap, I'm a lesbian.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes,
oh crap.
Frankie like comes over in her Jeep and she like throws rocks at her window or something and she's like, come down here and we'll sneak out and go talk. And they go to Frankie's house like in the basement and Alex is like, this is like crazy. Like, I did not expect this. This is not something I was planning. It's like, it feels really right to be with you. And like, I've never felt more like myself, but my religion like told me not to do this. Even to the point where Frankie's like, oh Jesus, you're being out of control. And she's like, don't swear. You know, she's like a very religious person.
Yeah.
And they talk about like having sex because, Alex wants to, and Frankie's like, I don't know if I should. Like,
you're like Mormon-y.
You're gonna regret it and have guilt and then issues with that. And she's like, no, I'm ready. I want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So they do. We don't see like any
I mean,
sex
you don't
scene or anything.
Need
we don't
to.
Need to. Mm-hmm. No, like not with a teenager.
No, she's fine.
You can imply it. Honestly, like
and it is implied.
I'll say there's a little too much fucking these days on the whole. Shows and movies.
Well, and it's not the focus of what we're talking about,
right?
You know,
right? And even with these movies where there's a lot of fucking on them, I'm like, I didn't have to,
right?
And it's kind of awkward because I know they're not actually fucking as like actors, and I was like, oh, that's weird.
Yeah, it is a little strange. So the next morning, the parents again are like, where were you? And she's like, I was just out and like, you know, I have something to tell you. And like, were you with boys? These boys are going to, you're having sex, aren't you? Because the mom pulls back her hair and sees a hickey.
Oh.
It's like, you're having sex. Do they know that this will prevent you from being in eternity with us in heaven?
Oh, boy.
Because you had sex?
Premarital.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And
they say, is he a member?
Is That's he a right. member of the church?
That's what they ask first, yeah.
And Alex is like, he is actually a she.
Uh-oh.
And I am gay.
Wrong answer.
Yeah.
Wrong answer. to the parents. I mean,
oh, totally.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Not like in general.
How rude, Joe. No, but yeah, she comes out to her parents, and the mom's response is as follows. I'll do it. I'm going to do it in a Canadian accent.
Okay.
Since it was very Canadian. Mm-hmm. No, you don't. I wrote, no, you don't. Because she was like, I like girls. And she's like, no, you don't. Get out of this house. Get out of the house. You know? She's like, get out of this house.
Get out of the house.
That's...
You didn't know I speak Canadian?
No, that's so good.
I mean, that's all I was thinking. I was like, oh my God, get out of this house. But it actually was a very dramatic moment because the actress is really good.
Yeah.
But her Canadian accent really undercut the scene for me.
Just sliced right in there in the, yeah.
Yes. But she kicks her out, you know?
Yeah, Canadian is showing.
She does.
And Alex like runs up to her room and she's like, oh my God, what the heck? Like, I just got kicked out of my house. Like, that... Clearly, she was not expecting that. She knew that it was going to be a tough conversation, but she wasn't expecting that reaction.
Right.
And I don't think, I mean, I think any gay teen worries about that when they're coming out at that age. I mean, she's 15. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
She's 15. She lives at home. 18 is when you are free from that. Mm-hmm. So when you're coming out as a teenager, you got to think about all that stuff.
Yeah.
And I came out to my friends when I was 15, but I didn't come out to my family till I was 18 because I was like, you never know.
Yeah.
You never know. And I had zero to worry about. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I still felt that as a gay teenager.
Right.
That I'm like, I don't know. Like,
yeah, who knows? Yeah. Like, you don't know, I guess.
You don't.
Right.
And I came out probably to my parents inadvertently, like I was like, I don't know. I'm,
like you oopsed?
I oops.
Slipped out.
No, I had like a dream catcher thing that you make in class and it was like maybe like art class or something.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say I was like 7 or 8.
Uh-huh.
And it's like a little necklace that you make out of yarn and you put in your wish. And my wish was to marry Alan Fleming. And
right.
I put it in there. And, you know, I was like, all right, my wish is going to come true. I'm going to marry Alan Fleming. It's going to be great. And I had it in my room or something. And my mom found it. And she was like, what is this? And I took it and I ate it. And I was like, I don't want to talk about this. I don't want to talk about this. So I ate it. So that's how that went.
You're like, that's what this
you
is,
ate
mom.
It.
Yeah, I was so embarrassed, and I knew it was wrong, or I just knew it was different.
So
they actually put me in therapy for like not gay conversion. It was like, are you okay with yourself being yourself? You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
Like a child
counseling.
Yes.
More
exactly.
Like a counseling situation.
It was
situation.
Like a, yeah. Maybe one time thing, and because I played with Barbies and stuff, and they were like, we just want to make sure that you're fine with being yourself.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, no, I love Barbies.
I'm like, doesn't everyone play with Barbies? Hello. They're great.
They're fucking awesome.
Yeah. So, you know, and also at that time, then I'm like, oh, okay. I guess, like, they know.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know.
Yeah. And they're just kind of like, yeah.
Yeah.
Well.
And then I came out, like, when I was 18 because I was like, all right, it's time.
Yeah.
I'm like, National Coming Out Day. And I called my mom. She's like, oh.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Right. That's great. I love you and that's fine.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Mom, you need to be surprised. I will call you back. I don't know if I actually hung up and called back, but I like made her do it again. And she was like, wow, I'm so surprised.
Wow.
You need to. That's amazing.
Yeah, that's like, can I tell your grandma? I'm like, of course you can.
Yeah.
Yes. So everyone's coming out stories different. But even if you have a very supportive family like I did, you have those thoughts of like being...
Yeah, you
like,
still...
I could be kicked out. What? Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't that be a thought in my mind? It's what the media portrays. Anytime there's a gay person portrayed in a film, they always are going through hardships like this.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So it creates a fear in gay teens or gay
unless you go
young
with that
gay people.
Mr. Show sketch where it was a guy coming out telling his parents that he wasn't gay and they got really mad.
That's great.
Yeah.
That well, that's why comedy is important.
That's why comedy. That's why you need the comedy.
Yeah,
you need it.
Representation.
Uh huh.
So
no son of mine's gonna be not gay. You better get gay.
Yes. Yeah. Well, great. So Alex moves in with the neighbors. very briefly.
Yep.
And the neighbors are like, your parents are coming to get you and they're going to take you to your grandparents' house in Utah.
Ew.
And she's like, okay, well, my grandparents love me and I'm their favorite grandchild, so big deal. I'll go to Utah for a couple weeks. Oh, that's Sharla. And, you know, we'll go to Utah. It'll be great. They do this long car trip because they're going from California to Utah.
Yeah.
And no one's talking in the car.
Super awkward.
Very awkward. Very tense.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Alex hasn't told anyone that she's going. So they stop at a gas station. She runs into the bathroom and, like, texts Frankie, like, hey, I'm going to be gone. Or calls her, probably. Mm-hmm. Hey, I'm going to be gone for a couple weeks. And Frankie's like, no big deal. But Alex is also very worried about her parents finding Frankie and, like, prosecuting her because she's 18.
Oh, yeah. And I didn't. You know what's funny?
Yeah.
I didn't think about that.
Yeah. I mean, it is a crime.
Which is weird. Yeah. Like, wait, that's. Let's talk about
that. Yeah. And on social media, like that, for the conservative, like, people watching this movie, that was the thing they couldn't get over. They were like, well, she's a rapist.
And I'm okay.
Like, okay.
I mean,
it's tricky.
This is a tough one. That's a tough one.
And not a good look. Like, no. I think they should have just made her 17 in the movie and just avoided that whole issue. Because it deflects from the message of the movie.
Yeah.
Which is why I didn't really focus on it too much. But because I have no defense of that either.
But I mean, if that was part of the story, if the real story, then yeah. Put it in there. Let's, you know, that is another thing. That's, that's.
Yes.
That's fucking.
Right. Not so much.
That's a crime. That's a crime was committed.
Yes. Well, right. So she's worried about her girlfriend or whatever.
Right. Yeah.
So she tries to give her a warning, and then they are driving to the grandma's house, and Alex, like, kind of looks around. She's like, wait, where the fuck am I? This is not my grandparents' neighborhood. Mm-hmm. She's like, Mom, Dad, where are we? Like, what's going on? And they stop at a house, and her grandparents are there.
It was like a horror movie. This was so scary, this whole scene.
Oh, God.
No one says anything.
Nope. And she's just sitting in the car, and her grandparents are there. Two other people are there, like a man and a woman. And they get out. They take all her luggage out, and she's still in the car. Like, what's going
on? Like,
what's going on?
Mm-hmm. What's happening?
No one's talking to her.
Nope.
And then she tries to call Frankie or someone to be like, I don't know where I am. Something's going on. And a man comes around and grabs her out of the car.
Mm.
And they sit her down in the house. Mm-hmm. And they're like, okay, so you're going to not be really staying with your grandparents. They live in this town. But you're going to be staying with these people, just these complete strangers, and they're going to get you better.
Ew.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ew.
Yeah. Their names are Johnny and Tina.
Yeah. Sure.
Tina? Like Tina, but with too many letters.
Tiana.
That's it, actually, for real. No joke.
Okay. Yeah.
And Alex is like, no, I'm not doing this. Like, you can't make me do this. And the Johnny and Tiana are like, do you have the papers? And the parents hand over legal documents giving away the parental guidance to these people for Alex. So Alex is legally guarded.
Oh, by, the legal guardians are now. Oh, it was like legal guardianship papers.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah. In Utah, of course.
Yeah.
It was.
I'm sure that's a lot easier in Utah to do that.
Right.
So now these people just wearing track jackets have ownership of her.
Jesus. Yeah.
Yeah. And they have ownership of two other gay boys.
Okay.
And they also have four kids of their own. Young kids, like nine little
ones.
To five.
Sure.
Oh, the musical. Nine to Five, the musical.
Oh, speaking of Nine to Five.
Check that out. Well, check me out in it. Okay, great. No, I'm not plugging the show right now. So, but they have some rules in the house, and they give her clothes to wear, which, like, baggy skirt, baggy shirt, because all her clothes are devil clothes.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay, we have rules. And Johnny is telling her the rules as he's making her change in front of him.
Okay.
You know, and you're like, is this going to get molesty, rapey?
Yeah.
Because it's Lifetime and, you know, they could go there.
Yeah.
Thankfully, it doesn't.
Okay.
Doesn't mean it doesn't happen in these gay conversion camps, which is what I will call them. Mm-hmm. And he's like, okay, we have rules. Here are the rules. One, don't talk to the kids. The kids, like, they're our kids. Don't talk to them.
Okay.
Ignore them. Don't take anything that's not yours.
Okay, that's fair.
Don't.
That's a good rule. Don't steal anything.
Do what they say, and you'll be fine.
Okay.
They know everyone in the town.
Everyone.
And it'll be her word against theirs. They know the police. They know the teachers. They know everyone.
Gross.
So there is no one who will help her.
Yeah. Because
they know what they're doing, and they're in support of what they're doing.
Yeah.
And the town really does. Really does. And then the final rule is the more uncomfortable that she is, the more she will grow as a person and then become the great straight person that she's meant to be.
Great and straight.
The great and straight. Ugh.
Gross, dude.
I know. Doesn't it make your
Mormons got to get their shit together, man? They need another. What do they call them? Revelations.
Yes.
I'm pretty soon. There's going to be a revelation that, you know, from God being like, it's cool to be gay now, though. It's okay.
It's gonna,
because they change a lot. They change their shit all the time, and they call them revelations.
Revelations.
They get it's like, coincidentally, God now said, hey. This is cool now. This is cool, totally cool.
Right.
Go for it.
Like, they were getting a whole bunch of shit for being polyamorous or whatever.
Yes, I know what you mean.
Multi-wife.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And they were getting shit from the government being like, you better cut that shit out or you're not going to be a state. And then they're like, oh, you know what? It's so weird. We just got a revelation from God saying that, yeah, we can't do that anymore. So what a coincidence. Yeah, no problem.
Well,
anyway,
great. I hope they do that. Whatever.
I know.
So more on that later, because I do have some statistics on that. So Alex is, you know, kind of surveying her surroundings, trying to get the lay of the land here. And they don't really let her out of the house initially. Like, she's kind of confined to the house. But when she does she gets enrolled in like a school or something.
Okay.
And she like asks the secretary, she's like, help me, help me, help me. And the secretary's like, I know Tatiana or whoever the fuck her name is. She's like, Miss Tatiana or whoever the fuck you are. Charlotte. And Charlotte, stop texting me. You're messing me up here. Anyways, she's like, obviously in on it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
God.
And then they go to like a Starbucks or something, and Alex runs to the bathroom. There's a maintenance person, and they have a phone, and they don't speak English. So she's like, phone, phone, give me a phone. Mm-hmm. She calls Frankie. She's like, oh my God, I'm captive. It's terrible. And, you know? But Tatiana, whoever, grabs her, and she's like, don't ever do that again.
I said no phones.
Yeah. And they take her home. They're like, you're obviously never leaving the house again. And, you know, and
you better learn some Spanish, girl.
Right. Then. Well, and everyone in the coffee shop sees her make a huge scene and does nothing.
Because she's literally like, I don't know these people.
And it's just this weird, like everyone just.
And
watching.
They're dragging her out. Like, she's, you know, it's screaming. Like, hello. Like, that would be a real red flag for me to be like,
I know.
No.
But if everyone is like in on it. And no, that's creepy,
isn't it?
That's fucking cool. I mean, it's like cool as like a story. It's like a horror movie,
right?
That's what cool like a horror movie.
Sure. I mean, and this is like horrific.
Yeah.
And this is like the first time, but there are like 16 times that I feel like this happens in the movie.
Yeah. The whole community is like accountable for this.
What a nightmare!
Every time they're just like so nauseous watching these scenes of like no one is helping her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ew. Oh, it's so scary.
And, you know, she's still trying to fight for her freedom,
but
no, she's like totally held captive. So when she gets back, Johnny like punches her in the stomach and is like, don't ever do that again. And then he's showing that he will be violent, like physically abusive with her if she does.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
So she has like group sessions with the Johnny guy and his whole family. The kids sit in on this. The other the gay boys are, hey, my gay boys. They're there.
my gay boys are sitting
and
there.
She's been there for like 52 days at this point. Okay.
Mm.
And she's like, They're trying to get her to be like, you're right, gay is not the way and all this stuff, and I'm straight and I won't do that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But she just can't do that. And they want her to give up Frankie's last name.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They're like, we need to know her last name. We need to know who she is. We're going to press charges and all this stuff.
Okay.
And she's like, I won't. Hmm. So she starts journaling to Frankie in the evenings.
Okay.
She's like journaling. She's like, we're looking at the same moon. All that type of
all
shit.
All that shit.
Mm-hmm. All that type of shit. But the days are like ticking by. And you see like day one, day 50, day whatever. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yep.
So you're getting, and you're also seeing her do like little, what is that called?
Like a tally mark.
Little tally. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. She's doing that tally.
Doing it.
And very, very well created tally.
Yeah.
Okay.
Very well spaced. All the lines are very similar. I was impressed with that tally work.
Very good tally
Alex Cooper, you're good at tally work, okay? Put that on a resume.
Not good at lying, though. Just lie.
Well, and that's kind of what I was thinking, too. I'm like, what would I do in this situation? I would probably just lie.
Anything like, to yes, get the fuck out of right. there. Yeah.
But she doesn't really realize the extent of the abuse that they could put on her. You know what I mean? At this point.
Mm-hmm.
And
true.
It's like 50 days in. She's like, what's the worst they're going to do? Not let me go outside. Fuck them.
And mm-hmm. I think part of the reason that she could have lied, but they wanted the last name of her girlfriend mm-hmm. before they would let her out. So I think part of it
make
was that
one
she
up.
Was like,
Make one up.
I know.
Yeah.
Maybe she did. Maybe they, I don't know.
You know, and the captors, Johnny and Tiana or whoever, they're like, we will always outsmart you. So don't think you're smart because we will always outsmart you. So you're an idiot.
I mean, that don't. You say
but
that, she, and now
but she's 15, so she's yeah. like, "Oh, maybe they're right. Maybe they're right."
Ah,
you know,
nah.
Emotional, manipulative.
Yeah. Yeah, manipulative.
Sure, manipulation. Okay, I can't speak right now. I don't know what I'm trying to say. Manipulative. Anyway, so Alex won't come clean about any of this stuff, and like, you know what? You're clearly not getting the burden of what gay lifestyle does to people. So you are going to wear a backpack full of rocks so you can feel the weight of the gay burden and what you're doing to your family, what you're doing to your community members, what you're doing to yourself.
A backpack full of rocks?
Rocks. So yep. she can okay. physically feel the burden.
The spiritual burden. Yep.
Yes, that she is placing on everyone.
Come on.
And she like takes off the backpack and she has like these crazy marks because she has to wear the backpack all day, mm-hmm. every day. And we're at day like 87 now.
Okay.
And she's still not really taking it serious. Like, she's like, fine, I'll wear your stupid backpack. She gets taken to Thanksgiving. It's like day 94 now.
And her quads are fucking
She's very
off.
Strong.
She's jacked.
No, her shoulders are like raw. Her shoulders are like raw from the backpack. And sure. the backpack is like, the fabric's like tearing on because the backpack because it's so heavy.
Mm-hmm.
And she is at Thanksgiving. Her parents agree to let her come to Thanksgiving. They do Thanksgiving in the town or something. Maybe at the grandparents' house. And they tell Alex they're going to move to Utah to be closer to her because they still love her and they want her to get better. And she's like, please, like, let me come home. Like, you don't understand what's going on. The dad walks off because he's like, I want none of you. You, like, you'll get it together or you won't, and I'm done with you.
Mm.
And the mom's sitting there, and she's like, they are abusing me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And the mom's like, why would I believe you? You lied about going out. You lied about staying at Danielle's house. You're a liar.
Yeah.
And she takes off the sleeve of her shirt and you see like raw skin.
Yeah.
She's like, look at this.
Look at this.
What
with
is
your
this?
Eyes.
And the mom like averts her eyes. She's like, I just want you to get better. We just love you
I
and want
love you
to.
You so much.
Yeah. We just love you so much and we want you to be better.
Fucking.
And
what did she say? Oh gosh, there were so many good lines there though. She was like, I can't not see you for eternity or something. Was
yeah.
Like, oh.
Well, right, because that's the fucked up
that's
part about it.
Gross.
Yeah.
It's like she says like I can't not spend eternity with you, and Alex is like, but I am suffering in this life right now, and yeah. you're doing nothing.
Yep. She's so worried about the next life that
yeah,
she can't even
focus on this life right here.
I'm gonna fucking beat the shit out of you in the next life for eternity.
Well,
how about that?
I know.
It's crazy.
So, I know.
But Alex is like clearly not getting anywhere with that. So the next form of punishment she has because she refuses to say the name and the parents tell Johnny and Tina or whoever mm-hmm. that Alex tried to get them to take her back. So the punishment is even more severe now. So she has to wear the backpack. She has to stare at a wall. In the corner.
Oh, yeah.
All day.
All day.
Mm-hmm.
Just stand in a backpack.
Yeah, I mean, that would definitely make
full of rocks.
Me not gay.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's like, what the hell? And people are like coming by the house, Drew. Like, visitors are there.
The elders from the church.
Yeah, like, the kids are there. They're all like walking past her like she's nothing. You know? They don't care.
Yeah, no.
She takes her meals at the wall. She is at the wall all day.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she's finally had enough. And this is a little bit triggering for anybody who's suffered with any type of suicide or anything like that, self-harm.
Yep.
She, and it came out of nowhere, but also I understood like where she was at, you know?
Yeah.
Because it's like 118 days or something at this point of this type of treatment. And she sees some pills in a cabinet because the dad has a bad back. And he's like, I swear the whole movie, he's holding his back. He's like, oh, my back. Oh, my back. It hurts. And I'm like, what the fuck are they talking about this guy's back all the time? Is she going to like punch him in the back and then escape? No, they're setting it up. Yeah, so she takes his pain pills, overdoses on the pain pills. Mm-hmm. And then she has like flashes of Frankie, like in all the good times they've had together. And then she snapped out of that because they like make her throw up and put her in a cold shower. And they're like, you're not going to kill yourself on our watch. Make breakfast for the kids. You know?
Jeez. Can't even like, kill herself.
Exactly. It's like, what the fuck is going on?
I mean, what?
And it's a true story.
That's what kept getting me. Yep.
She should just like take a few of them just to like, you know, be like,
Drew, take like, the edge off. No, then she's addicted to pills as well as being held captive.
Well,
that's terrible. So she's still suicidal, but she tells Johnny and Tiana or whoever the last name. It's Jackson, if you're wondering. Mm. Sorry, Miss Jackson. Miss Jackson, if you're nasty. Okay, great.
There we go. Yep.
So, you know, and I was going to make that joke on Twitter because I was live tweeting this one. And I was like, I don't think jokes are appropriate. I don't think jokes are appropriate for this one. Okay. So, you know, I'm doing it on the podcast where way more people listen to. Great. But, you know, it's all good. It's all good. Because, spoiler alert, she obviously gets out and writes the memoir.
Yeah, yeah.
So we know that she's free,
which is comforting.
Yes, yeah. It is comforting because I kept reminding Allie because, like, every time we were at a commercial, she's just like, "What the fuck?"
It was so heavy, though.
Yeah. Because Lifetime was not backing down, and we'll talk more about that once we finish wrapping up, like why it's important that this movie is made.
Mm-hmm.
So we're getting there. So, she plays by the rules. She tells them she's straight whenever they're like asking. Like, she's starting to do that now.
Okay.
And she earns her privileges back. She's not on the wall. She goes to public school and she meets a guy. His name is Jason. Mm-hmm. Redhead. Very gay. Has rainbows all over his backpack.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like making little jokes. And like he can tell that she needs a friend.
Yeah.
And they're like lab partners. Mm-hmm. So he's like, you're coming to lunch with me, bitch. And we're going to go get lunch. And she's like, I don't like sunlight. And he's like, we'll eat inside then, ho. You stupid pale hoe. No, he's like, well, inside, you know, he's like makes it a joke.
Yeah.
And he brings her to this club. It's the environmental club. And Carol Lynn is the advisor for the club. Mm-hmm. But she's also the advisor for the Gay Straight Alliance.
Okay.
Did your school have a Gay Straight Alliance, Allie?
I don't think so, no.
My high school tried to get me to start it, and I was like, for me, the one person who's gay in this high school? No. Someone else started it, and good for them.
Yeah.
But, you know.
I think they have one now.
Yeah, I think most high schools have that now, which is great. And Carolyn's like, oh, you know, you should join I saw you did Earth Day at your school, and you should do that here, and that'd be great. The interesting thing about school is that Alex doesn't really trust anyone because her captors are getting reports from school.
Yeah,
like, she was at this period, she was late to this period, she spent lunch here. Like, somebody is keeping track of
her. Yeah, someone's spying.
And they were like, why were you with Carol Lynn? And she's like, oh, I'm doing Earth Day. You know, not the gay club.
Not the gay club, the Earth Day.
And they're like, well, that sounds great. I heard the environment is going downhill. You know, so I'm glad the Mormons believe in climate, you know, things happening.
Well, it was a revelation. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Not climate change. What is it called now?
Global warming.
There we go. No, well, not global
it
warming.
It was global warming. It is climate change.
Climate change. Yes. Because it could be hot. It could be cold.
Yeah.
It could be left. It could be right. It could be up. It could be down. It could be.
It's happening.
Anything.
It could be dry. It could be wet.
There you go. There's more nature things. I don't clearly go outside.
Human.
But Alex like is feeling very comfortable with Jason. Like they have like really good moment together. And I'm saying if I'm jumping, I think, yeah. So he tells her that he is out. And she's like, that is weird. Like, how do you do that? Like, well, she says, what's it like being oot?
That was offensive.
You know, and he tells how he came out to his mom. Like, he wrote her a note. And I was like, oh, my God, that's like me. And he wrote her a note. And the mom just hugged him and was like, I will love you no matter what and however you are. And it was actually pretty emotional.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, I can't imagine that. That sounds great.
Wow, cool. Yep.
You know? So she's inspired by him. So she, the next day, like, comes to the classroom and she's like, okay, I'm being held captive and I'm a lesbian and all this stuff is happening to me and I don't know what to do. And then she looks up and Carol Lynn's, like, you know, coming out of, like, a closet. She's like, oh.
She's
there. Yeah, she's like, we have to report this. I know a lawyer who can help you.
And oh, she's, like, on the side.
She's on the good side.
Oh, okay. But, yeah. I was where I'm like,
exactly.
I know, like, I had that fear, too.
Where he's just like,
they set it up that
psych!
Way. They set it up
I'm
that way.
I'm not gay!
Yeah, I'm scared.
Yeah, which, I mean, at this point, it would be no reason why you wouldn't think that would be happening.
Right, yeah.
But they really are there. And then they call the lawyer, who actually is Wilson Cruz okay. from My So-Called Life. Ricky?
Yeah.
From My So-Called Life. Notable thing about him, he's one of the first gay actors to play, like, a gay teen on TV.
Mm-hmm.
And he was, like, probably, like, one of the people that I looked up to being a young person. I was probably, like, 11. And he was probably, like, 15.
Yeah.
And seeing him on that show, I was like, oh, wow, there's people like me. Mm-hmm. Because representation matters.
So important.
Even if he was on his story arc on that show, he was also homeless, kicked out of his house for coming out and beaten and, you know, was taken in by a teacher. Like, these are the stories that are being told about gay people.
Yeah.
And it creates an anxiety about mm-hmm. it.
Yeah.
It really does. So, you know, not that these stories shouldn't be told, but I think there should be some balance
yep.
about different
yeah.
representation.
Show the different kinds of coming out stories.
Right. Not every time is going to be, you're not going to be held captive in a gay conversion therapy. Hopefully.
Mostly
that's
probably
like worst
not.
Case scenario.
Mostly yeah. probably not, yeah.
But also, people don't realize that that is real.
Yeah.
And that it happens.
It's happening.
And it happens now.
Yeah.
Happening.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. So she's almost out, you know, but she has to spend one more night with the family, which is terrible. And she goes back to the family. Everything's fine. Nothing happens.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, okay, well, we'll get you out of there and, you know, it'll be great. And then she goes back one more night and she escapes. Mm-hmm. This is where she's running around.
Okay.
Running around. She gets on a bus. She goes back to school. She gets taken into custody. And they're like, they can't come get you. Like, you're safe now. Like, you have lawyers protecting you. Love is love. All that type of stuff. Like,
yeah.
the caseworker tells okay. her all this stuff and tells her that she's valued and she matters. And, you know, it's not, she's not going to be eternally damned.
Right. Yep. Yeah.
Which I think she needed to hear.
It was great.
Yeah. Someone needed to just say that.
No adult has said that to her yet.
Right.
You know? And that's crazy.
Yeah, that's nuts. She's like, wait, what? Wait, you can say that?
Yeah.
And you're not stricken down by the lightning of Zeus?
Yes. So then she's like lying in bed in the middle of the night or whatever, and you hear like a car pull up, and it's like the engine's revving, and
mm-hmm.
it's Frankie in the red Jeep. Oh,
okay.
So she's like, oh my God, Frankie's here, and she runs out. And they have a slow motion run and they hug.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the movie.
That's it.
That's it.
Okay.
Yeah, we get a title card that kind of updates, like, you know, the legal battles happen and Alex, like, fought for her rights. She, like, emancipated herself from her parents.
Mm-hmm.
And her parents couldn't force her to return back to conversion therapy. And eventually they reconcile the relationship. And then they say this, which was, like, kind of annoying. Alex's father offered to walk her down the aisle someday should she marry the woman of her dreams.
Ugh.
I know.
Shut
the
fuck off.
I know.
Yeah.
Fuck that, you, dude.
That was like not my favorite way to end it. But that's how it ends.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
I didn't like that part. I mean, I didn't like the fact that that was the last thing that we saw.
The last
thing.
He got
that last little, yeah.
Yeah. So like, yay for the dad.
Yes.
Being something now.
You,
no,
dude.
Like, fuck you.
I know.
Oh, it's so great. with her dad. It's so fun. Like,
yeah, and she doesn't need. She doesn't need to have him walk down the aisle.
No.
It's a gay wedding. You can do whatever you want.
And you're down that
exactly.
Aisle.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
I know. The ending though, it did get to me.
Yeah, I had to get tissues out.
Oh yeah.
This is the first time I've had to get tissues for a guest. For a,
I everyone will know now that I cried, but I couldn't believe. Yeah, I just think it was the representation thing that we were talking about.
It matters a lot.
There was some things that like hit me. And the fact that you can go back the whole movie and be like, this really happened to her.
Yeah.
This is really happening to people.
Yeah.
It's just with you the whole time.
True.
Lifetime.
And I don't think you knew that Lifetime could do this type of thing.
I will be honest. I did not know that. Based on the other Lifetime movies I've seen. Mm-hmm. Yes, I will be honest. I didn't think that they could bring an honesty to it. There's like, still, yeah.
Bring it down.
Yeah. Bring it down.
And the good thing to note about this one is that it's obviously based on the memoir. So that's great because it's in the person who experienced voice. She had, say on the movie. And the screenwriter, her name's Michelle Paradise. Hey, Michelle. Love that name. She is actually from a Mormon background. She is a lesbian or a gay identifying person herself.
Oh, okay.
So that, I think, really helped. The script was strong. The acting was strong. Directing was interesting and well done. So I think it made for a successful movie.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh.
So let's do pour it up or put a cork in it. And then I have a couple more facts that I want to go through. And we will do a Candace. And we will have a great episode. So we'll start with Allie. What are you going to do to this movie?
And pour it up is good.
Yes, I would recommend.
I'm going to have to say, yeah, pour it up. I think that the thing that sticks with me is people who are watching this movie maybe haven't been exposed to a lot of LGBTQ plus humans or like their lives and stuff too. So I think there was that element of it like being very real. So yeah, I think everyone needs to pour it up and watch this like with some tissues. Some tissues if you're me.
Yeah.
True, how about you?
I mean, I'm going to pour it up. Man, it's there's a little horror movie action going on here. What I want
suspenseful,
is
yes.
to make the sequel where... she like comes back with like a vengeance and just goes to town on everyone in that town.
Yeah, just, I mean, it was no wild. One, it was wild,
like John Wick style. Everyone in that town.
That's
what I would want. But yes, I'm going to pour it up.
Yeah,
wonderful. Well, and speaking of everyone in that town, I did some research on the actual real people. The man who held her captive, his name's McCray Game. And I'm not 100% sure that this, because this guy was from South Carolina. The movie takes place in Utah, so I'm not sure like where the crossover happens or like if it's. I'd have to read the memoir, I think, to kind of get a better idea. But in an interview I read, they mentioned this guy, and he was a conversion therapy organizer called Hope for Wholeness, aka Truth Ministry. He's been like running it since 1999, and he came out as gay in August.
Yeah,
you know, and you're like, of course,
he's gay. They're all gay. They're anyone who says I'm not gay is gay.
It's just fear.
Well, it's fear of like being like, what? No. Like it's just,
and then you're gonna take other people and like put them down or like
you're gonna pull people with you, you're gonna you're gonna
to be like, come on, we all have to be in this suffering together.
Gross.
Let's go.
And also, conversion therapy is still legal in 33 states. Conversion therapy of minors specifically.
30. I mean,
33 states still legal.
Sure,
completely legal to have that happen.
I think right next door. I think Indiana. Sure.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Pretty nuts.
I'm telling you, John Wick.
There you go.
John Wick your way through all of this shit.
Yes.
It's so horrible. Oh. Like, it's like a, that's,
oh, Drew.
I don't know. It makes me so mad, but like, it makes me like, it makes me want to John Wick my way through.
Okay. Well, you know, maybe Alex Cooper will do that, but you know, she's probably like speaking to LGBT youth and like getting her story out there. And this is a great way to do that. I think
I'll do it.
You'll do it. You'll go John Wick the town.
Yeah. Do it.
I'm going to John Wick that whole time.
Okay. Wonderful. So that wraps up our conversation about the Alex Cooper story. Did you have anything you want to say about viewership? Didn't you say you had some statistics or something?
No, I mean, that was it. That's the thing that stuck with me. I just did a project with a theater company where we focused on media and mental health specifically. And we went around and talked to people who had seen things on television that they were like, oh, yeah, this is me. Mm-hmm. Or like, I can relate to this. And this is the first time I can relate to this. So I was just sitting there watching this movie as someone who identifies a lot with this person, with Alex, and being like, what if this was my experience?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And being able to put myself in, and like the religion aspect too. I just think that is fascinating. You know, my partner's family is very religious. And I'm like, you know, these beliefs just hold people to this.
Yeah, man.
Oh, they just hold people down to this place, and it's really scary to see where that can take people. But
yeah,
I just the ending of that movie too, with the woman who is just like, you know, we're not all like this. This isn't how we all of us Mormons operate. I was like, that's also important, because anyone who is Mormon watching the movie was like, okay, yes,
yeah, it is.
Oh, also, the reunion that happened in the movie, totally made up.
Oh, I know. That's so
didn't
sad.
Didn't happen, really.
The reunion. Oh.
Of Alex and Frankie.
Oh,
she never saw Frankie again in real life.
It had been like 8 months.
Yeah, I mean.
You know, but Alex is like, I understand why they did that for the movie, to make it like more palatable and satisfying as an experience.
Instead of like going to these weird boring legal battles and stuff.
Yeah, right. I think I needed that at the end.
Yes.
Yeah.
You really did, because they really went there.
Yeah, they
so
really
good
did.
Job, Lifetime.
Good job, guys.
Great job.
All right. Let's lighten the mood and do a Candace.
Catch that bouquet. Candace hates the gays. Candace Cameron Bure. Drinking rosé. Eating creme brulee. Can't share with me. Candace Cameron Bure. Yeah. What you say? Candace Cameron Bure.
Yeah.
Okay, what'd you say, Candace Cameron Bure?
Did you say?
What did she say? You know, it's been a while since we've checked in with Candace. So we will watch a clip and we will talk about it. She has a little face on this. Oh, she's already talking. Whoa, Candace, relax.
Whoa, take it easy,
take
lady.
It easy, girl.
Just wait your turn.
Okay. The whole collection is going up in just a few days, October 1st. Also, there's an Aurora Tea Garden marathon going on right now. I'm not going to lie, I just turned it on.
Okay.
Okay.
So she has a Christmas ornament release this year. So she's partnered with Hallmark. She will be releasing Christmas ornaments. You shouldn't buy them.
Don't buy those.
You shouldn't buy them.
Exclusively at Hallmark?
Yeah, I think so.
Please don't buy those.
And then she watches herself. I'm continuing on in the story of her Instagram for that day.
Mm-hmm.
She literally watched her movie and just recorded like clips of herself
on her story.
What?
I'm like,
come on,
that is weird.
What a weirdo.
What
did she say she was watching? What was the
Aurora Tea Garden, the ones you're supposed to watch and do a podcast episode for me.
Okay.
You're supposed to watch all this.
Oh, I'm
I think we said if like we raise a certain amount of money that you would do it.
That's right. I forgot about
it. So, you know, we owe that to the viewers.
We have not raised that money though.
Oh, so. True. All right. Well, I don't know what our donations are. Yes, we have a donate button on our website. Donate.
Yeah. No one's done it yet.
Okay. Well, now's your chance.
I'll have to fucking watch those.
I know.
If
I know. And there's like 9 of them.
Oh my god.
Yeah. But they're done. It's over. She's done filming those. She's not filming anymore.
Mm-hmm.
She'll do her Christmas movies and probably do a different type, like more of romance, but she's done with the mysteries.
Ooh.
The murder mystery. She doesn't want to do it anymore. She doesn't have to.
Until
she's
the
Candace.
Next time.
Until the next time.
Oh, Candace.
All right. So I think that wraps up. Thank you, Allie, for being here for this very important episode.
Of course.
So much to talk about and just get together, but yes.
It was. I'm really glad I got to watch that movie, though.
Yeah,
I am.
Me too.
Yep.
Wonderful. Do you have anything you'd like to plug for the pluggy time on the podcast?
Oh, you know, you can follow my Instagram if you like cat photography and acting things and directing things in the Chicagoland area. It's just at Allie Braun.
That's, wonderful.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. Love it.
Drew, how about you?
You can follow me on Drew But With Pants. And you can also check out my band, The Limbos. We just released a new song, a single. We do a cover of What Is Love.
When is love?
Yeah.
Baby, don't hurt me.
Yeah.
Why didn't you get me on that track?
Oh, we can't. We can do
okay,
another.
Great.
We'll just do another one.
We'll do another one.
More really quick. Let's lay one down.
You know, it's probably not poppy. It's probably more like rocky.
Oh.
Right?
It's like... It's funky.
Is there synth in there?
There's a little synth.
Cool.
Triangle. Yeah.
There's a triangle.
Nice.
I play it. That's what I play in the band. Oh. I play the triangle.
That's my
perfect. Yeah. Great. Well, thank you both for being here.
Thank you.
And thank you, listeners, for checking back in with Lifetime on Court. We watch these movies so you don't have to, but if you do, we'd love to hear from you. You can follow me at Patrick Miguel or the podcast at Lifetime on Court. Don't forget to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Check out our website, lifetimecourt.com, or call us at 872-267-4117.
Drop us a line.
Yeah. Okay, that's all I know.
Okay.
Goodbye.
Bye. Bye.